die.
Welcome to the Wampa's Lair Podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl Eclair and Jason Hunt, discuss all things Star Wars. So join the conversation and hang out here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to a special episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. I am your host, Carl Eclair, and I'm going to be doing this solo today. This is just a short little episode to kind of catch you guys up on what's kind of been my experience after taking a little bit time away from both the show, but more specifically, Star Wars in general. I've never done that before, but it took the longest break of my life, and I went over a month without watching a Star Wars movie. Which is a very, very long time for me to go without watching a Star Wars movie. And it was a very, very interesting experience. But the long story short is, I come to find out that actually sometimes there's a goodness in time away from things that you really love. And that's what I've come to learn, is taking some time away from being so invested in Star Wars all the time was actually a good thing. It gave me some much-needed time to just breathe and to attend to other parts of life. And what was so great is just the other day, just a few days ago, finally went back and I finally said, okay, it's time to sit down and watch my favorite Star Wars film. And I sat down and watched The Empire Strikes Back, and it was like almost like watching it for the first time again. I was so in love with everything about that movie. It just hit all the right notes for me. I woke up the next morning, watched all of Return of the Jedi, and it was like falling in love all over again. And I'm so excited to be back in the world of Star Wars. And next week being back with Jason on the show and getting things back into full swing. Actually, belay that, Jason won't be back next week. He's off, but I'll be on with a friend. But we'll be back in 2 weeks, ready to go at this good and new once again. But I also had this great experience of taking this time away to also really get to mull over thinking of new ways of doing things on the show and, introducing some new aspects to the show once again. And again, when, you know, you're in the midst of doing something day in, day out, over and over and over again, right? The same repetition, things can sometimes get stale, things can get a little bit old. And sometimes, like, again, like taking this time away from the show, taking some time away from Star Wars, really allowed my love of Star Wars to regrow on its own very naturally. And I've come up with this idea for the show, and it really kind of just came to me yesterday. I was driving back to Boston from being in New York for a few days with my family, and I was listening to the audio version of Return of the Jedi, and this thought just came to me of a new way of doing some sort of mini episodes on the show. Unfortunately, I can't promise, like, oh, this is how regular it's going to be. I'm hoping probably one a month. And again, that'll probably be something that'll be exclusive to Patreon. But we're going to put it in the $1 feed. So it'll be basically as long as you can support with $1 a month, you're going to get access to this particular mini episode. And I guess it's kind of in the vein of Forces of Destiny, which is obviously the new Lucasfilm short that's premiered on YouTube. I'm personally not a huge fan of Forces of Destiny. I don't think I'm the target audience then again. You know, a 30-year-old guy is not really their target audience, and I'm okay with that. It's not particularly my favorite thing in Star Wars, so that's fine. I know there are so many fans out there that love it. There's, you know, a lot of folks who are listening have written in about how much your kids love it, and I think that's the target audience. The audience is really for kids. I think it can be loved by anyone, but the clear target here is young people. So again, it doesn't kind of hit what I was thinking for my particular love of Star Wars, but I think it's a great segment. And I think it was a great idea. And that, again, like, I love to see that Lucasfilm is trying new things. And that's the great thing, is letting new ideas percolate. Whether or not it hits home for you, that's fine. Like, it purely subjective. If it hits home for you, great. If it doesn't, whatever. There's plenty of other things for you to love. And so something I was thinking of was doing, again, like these little shorts, and I'm going to be calling them Skywalker Tales. For those of you who don't know, if you're somewhat new to the show, obviously I come from a Christian background. I'm a college chaplain. Like, that's obviously a big part of my life. That's what my master's degree is in. And if you are familiar with kind of the Christian worldview, you've probably heard of these little videos called Veggie Tales, and they're essentially like kid-friendly little cartoons that essentially retell biblical stories for children. It's something I used to use in my classroom when I was teaching freshmen in high school. It was a little bit below their grade level, but they loved it anyway. So that's kind of where the title of this segment comes from. It's the idea of Veggie Tales, but instead of it being purely biblical stories, this is going to be little stories about Star Wars that can kind of connect in a bigger way to our lives, and more specifically connect in some way to probably biblical stories. So again, if you know, yeah, religion's not your thing, that's totally fine. I'm in no way trying to speak to people and make you be religious. But of course, it's something that I'm very passionate about, and so is Star Wars. So again, this is kind of a melding of those two passions. Whether or not, again, you are religious, hopefully you still want to listen to these and see if there's any sort of connection that might be worthwhile for you. And if you are religious, hopefully you enjoy it. So what I was thinking of, though, and this is specifically in light of just watching Empire Strikes Back, front and back, and I did it again last night and this morning. today's task is to jump into Phantom Menace. So I'm essentially going to be watching the movies in the order in which I love them. So did Empire, Jedi, today will be Phantom Menace, then I'll be tackling Rogue One, and then on down the line for me. But as I was watching Return of the Jedi, the stuff with Luke in Jabba's palace really stands out to me as a really good analogy of kind of divine intervention in biblical stories. So let me unpack this a little bit. And before I unpack that, I also wanted to note that while watching Empire Strikes Back, again, I think this is generally the most beloved film in the franchise. I know it's not everyone's favorite, but by and large, most fans prefer The Empire Strikes Back. And one of the key reasons a lot of fans say that, and myself included, is because it's such a beautiful movie that encapsulates hope. I think Rogue One does this very well as well, but Empire Strikes Back does it in such a powerful way, right? Like, this is a story where our heroes are beaten and chased and broken down throughout the course of the film. Yet at the end, you know, there's that beautiful scene of Luke and Leia and the droids watching, you know, Lando and Chewie fly off with the Falcon to find Han. Right. And it ends on such a note of hope of like, yes, we've lost almost everything, but we can still do this. We can still win the day. But what I was thinking is Return of the Jedi vindicates The Empire Strikes Back. The reason you can say that Empire Strikes Back is so perfectly a hopeful movie is because we know that that hope is paid off in Return of the Jedi. If Return of the Jedi, like, thank God Harrison Ford agrees to sign on. If at the beginning of Return of the Jedi, Han Solo somehow dies and they lose him, some of that hope would have been soured, right? Some of that hopefulness that we felt at the end of Empire would have been gone. Yes, like, they still could have, they still probably would have won the day. Return of the Jedi is not going to be a movie of their ultimate failure, but, right, I was just thinking about how Return of the Jedi is such a great accompaniment film to Empire Strikes Back because it really fulfills the hope of Empire Strikes Back. In other words, Return of the Jedi makes Empire Strikes Back the perfect film. And Return of the Jedi is further heightened because of what we're coming from, right? This ultimate victory of the goodness is happening in light of this horrible defeat that happened in the previous film. So again, just something, again, not probably an original thought in any way, but if you've never thought of it that way, just if you ever get a chance, watch Empire and sit down and watch Jedi either right after or maybe the day after, and just really pay attention to how much vindication Return of the Jedi provides to The Empire Strikes Back because we see that hope fulfilled in Return of the Jedi. So I say all that to hop into this little topic of what I'm calling Skywalker Tales. And what I want to look at is specifically when Luke comes in to Jabba's palace, right? There's kind of this slow rollout into his entrance in the film. And the first thing we see of Luke in interacting with Jabba is the message he sends in R2, right? R2 plays this message, and Luke is very gracious and kind, right? He's trying to initiate the conversation, not from a point of threat, not from a point of warning, but simply saying, hey, Jabba, I know you have my friend. I'm willing to pay for him to get him back. And here's a gift to tie you over until I come to provide said gift. So it's he doesn't come out swinging, right? Like Luke first, it's kind of this soft pitch. Now, Luke probably knows enough about Jabba the Hutt, considering he grew up on Tatooine, to know that Jabba is probably going to reject this and probably reject him all along the way. However, Luke is a Jedi at the start of this film. Now, again, we don't know exactly what kind of Jedi, right? He strolls in wearing all dark. He's choking out Gamorrean guards. But we know he's at least strong with the Force, certainly a lot stronger than he was in Empire Strikes Back. So Luke's first soft pitch goes to Jabba. He doesn't, obviously, he's not there to interact. But again, it's kind of like this prophetic warning, right? In biblical stories, when God is about to intervene, and I'm thinking very specifically about like the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, or even the story of Noah and the flood, these are stories where God initiates a conversation with human beings by sending some sort of messenger, right? And saying, hey, heads up, I'm aware of what's going on, and I'm going to come and fix the problem, is a very simple way of looking at the initiation of God's conversation. And that's what's going on with Luke here. Luke is coming in and saying, I know you have my friend, and I'm coming to get him. Now, my initial pitch is, you know, hand him over and I'll pay for him, right? Like, it'll benefit both of us. And that's oftentimes how God works in these biblical stories, is God is at first saying, like, well, I'm going to send a messenger to tell the people, like, hey, you're doing things wrong. You know, you better shape up, fix the way you're doing things, and everything will go better for everyone. Now, oftentimes in the stories, that's not what happens. So Luke shows up, right? And I've always loved that image of the big door opening as Luke comes in, right? He's dressed all in black. He's coming into the darkness, because obviously Jabba is a creature of the dark. But when the door opens, right, there's all this bright white light that comes streaming in, silhouetting Luke. I mean, Luke is very much, a prophetic type figure who's the one who comes from the light, coming into the darkness to offer that light. So Luke comes in. Force tricks Bib Fortuna to get before Jabba and says to Jabba, look it, I'm here for my friends. You can profit from this or be destroyed. So now there's, here's what you can do. I can still give you said money, but if you don't, heads up, like, I'm going to destroy you. Of course, Jabba thinks very little of it. And again, it's very similar to biblical stories. When the messengers show up, they say, look it, like, God's aware of what's going on. Like, we're here to help you, but if you don't change your ways, expect some form of destruction to come your way. So Luke makes that very apparent to Jabba. You know, I'm here. I'm asking for this specific thing. You know, do it or be destroyed. Jabba's response, of course, is to send him down into the Rancor. And I love how Jabba says, teeny Jedi, teeny Jedi. I don't know if that's exactly what he says, but it sounds like that to me. So that's why at the top of the show you heard Jabba saying teeny Jedi, teeny Jedi. Because I think he's obviously mocking Luke. He does not think Luke is a Jedi. I mean, Jabba's aware of galactic news. He knows Order 66. He knows the Jedi are gone. He thinks this is just probably a pretender. So he's laughing at him. And obviously, Luke shows his prowess, shows the power he brings with him, right? Because to some degree, you can understand why Jabba's not like, oh yeah, I'm afraid of this random kid, right? But now we've seen Luke do something. He slays the Rancor. You know, he gives some sort of initial sign here of what's to come, what I'm capable of. But Jabba is still continuing in his arrogance and sentences Luke and his friends to death by Sarlacc. And as Luke is being pushed out, he says, it's going to be the last mistake you'll ever make. So again, now Luke is making it very clear. I'm here. You didn't do what I asked. So I've made you aware of the consequences. If you keep going this way, those consequences are going to be visited upon you. You've seen a little bit of what I'm capable of. But Jabba still persists. And again, it's very similar to these biblical stories of, you know, these messengers coming saying, like, you got to change your ways. You got to change your ways. And, you know, the people receiving the message continually just saying, no way. And, you know, pushing the messengers away, pushing the prophets away, saying, nope, going to keep doing things my way. So Luke's last declaration to Jabba, right? This very powerful line, free us or die. It's a black and white decision here, right? If you let us go, that's it. We're done. If you don't, you're going to die. Jabba, of course, still mocks him, and we know what happens. Luke utterly destroys them. And, you know, what's so interesting is Luke fights his way to free his friends. He's got his friends free. But the very interesting thing that you can easily ask is, well, why do they turn the cannon, right, on the sail barge, you know, point the cannon at the deck, he tells Leia. Why do that? Why do you have to kill everybody, right? I mean, it's a little extreme, but again, it kind of really hits the biblical storytelling mold of when God shows up in the midst of evil, God eradicates all of evil. It's not like, okay, well, I'm going to sift through everything here, but it's these kind of these stories of how God cannot abide with evil. God can't exist where evil is. So God comes in and eradicates the evil. And that's exactly what Luke does here. Is every single person on the sail barge guilty? That's debatable. But again, this is kind of Star Wars storytelling is big and mythic. It's not kind of concerned with the minutia of questions like that, right? You could easily be like, well, what about poor Max Rebo, who, by the way, I love? You know, poor Max Rebo and the Max Rebo band, they, you know, why did they have to die? And at the end of the day is when you surround yourself with evil, the story of Star Wars, the mythical element of that storytelling is when you surround yourself with evil, the consequences are generally pretty dire. And that's kind of the lesson of this early part of Return of the Jedi that we're being told is that these heroes have come to eradicate evil and they are going to utterly destroy it. When you look at the story of Noah and the flood, right, ultimately that story is about God destroying all of evil. And when it was written, that story was written thousands of years ago. But the community it was being written to was a community living in the midst of persecution and in the midst of an evil empire that was conquering them. This story was told to remind them that God will ultimately destroy evil. The start of Return of the Jedi tells us that, yes, evil still exists in the galaxy. We're very aware of that from the end of The Empire Strikes Back. But here we see evil being eradicated. So to me, that's kind of what's so neat about that early part of Return of the Jedi is it's a very simple story, but it's kind of biblical in its reach. It's very mythical in its reach. So Luke shows up. He is the good one. He is the messenger, and he comes with a message that is ignored, and he exacts destruction upon evil. And that's, something very primal about Star Wars itself, is it tells us very primal stories. And the story here is that evil in all of its forms will be destroyed. And it's so important that that's how the movie starts for Return of the Jedi, right? Because we're coming off of this ultimate low in The Empire Strikes Back. And by the end of Act 1 in Return of the Jedi, we've seen how the good forces have banded together once again. They've come together and they've destroyed a very powerful evil. So it's a precursor to what's to come. The evil that still exists at large in the galaxy, the Empire, is going to be conquered now by this combined force of good. So, there you have it. Those are just some of my thoughts and how, again, a very specific part of Star Wars has a very biblical, mythical reach. So, there you go. That is my initial thoughts on some, again, like big mythical storytelling elements in Star Wars. So I hope you enjoyed that. It was, again, kind of short. Hope there was something in there for you. And like I said, this is going to be a segment I'm hoping to start in August, once a month, for anybody who is in our $1 Patreon tier. These are going to be mini episodes called Skywalker Tales, where I'm just going to reach into Star Wars, find kind of these big mythical moments, and kind of unpack them a bit, make some connections to bigger mythological biblical stories, and really highlight how Star Wars adds so much to our lives by risking taking these big story leaps and telling us these big tales. So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this first mini episode of Skywalker Tales, and you know, if you're interested in more stuff like this, definitely let us know. You know, shoot us an email, wampuslerpodcast@gmail.com, or hit us up on our social media and let us know what you think. Again, I'm Carl, and I hope you enjoyed this mini episode of the Wampus Lair.